Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Adam Kaufman of the Betting News and Sports Grid will join us. We'll go over the NFL week number three, maybe talk a little Yankees Red Sox. He's a Boston guy, so it's looking like a Yankees Red Sox wild card matchup here in a couple of weeks. So, but we'll do mostly football, mostly NFL, and NFL is where we will start as we head to a week three. I don't think there are great games this week. I guess the premier one, the headline one, Rams-Eagles, that's pretty good. And you looked at last year and heard it a million times. I'm sure the Eagles have too, although the Eagles have not looked good here the first couple weeks, especially offensively. No explosive plays. It's just constantly tush-push. They just, bleed you to death. Little paper cut after paper cut, matriculating the ball down the field. So Eagles laying 3.5 to the Rams. I would only look towards taking the points here. But that's not a play for me. I will get to my plays here now. And I actually got a good feeling about this week. I'm just going to go back to taking points. I know that the dogs have not done well here, but I think especially early on, you can get some overreaction, some inflated lines, and that will kind of be the theme here. And I will start with the Titans and the Colts. The Titans have not been good to me over the last year plus. But if you look at their first two games, they led in the second half against the Broncos in Denver, a tough game. They led in the second half against the Rams before that game got away from them. Titans are playing the Colts. The Titans are home to the Colts. They're getting 4.5 as we're doing this now. So if you give home field like 1.5, you're saying there's 6 points of difference between these two teams. I don't buy that. It's been a good story with the Colts. It's been a good story with Jones. But to me, field goal game, wouldn't be surprised if the Titans beat them. To me, this is a classic sell high, buy low kind of spot. So I like the Titans' famous last words here, getting the 4.5. And I'm going to take the 8.5 with the Brownies too. I talked about this a little bit Wednesday with Sammy P. He mentioned how he liked the Browns, but he wasn't sure if he had the stomach to pull the trigger. I'm going to do it. If you look at their defense has been outstanding. They completely shut down Burrow and the Bengals week one, seven yards in the second half, Baltimore had. And then last week, you look at the final score and say, oh, they got crushed. They really didn't get crushed in the stats. Baltimore did very little offensively. Both teams averaged 4.5 yards per play. That was a pretty even game by the stats. I know Flacco turned it over. Maybe that's just part of the deal when you're betting Flacco at this stage of his career. But they're home. Packers, again, you're selling high here. I'll take the 8.5 with Cleveland. And I will take Cincy +3 against Minnesota. Spoke about this on a couple other shows. I just don't think with Minnesota, and it's not much of a downgrade, if any, from McCarthy to Wentz. It's hard to evaluate that because we haven't seen much of McCarthy and we haven't seen much of Wentz other than a couple Week 18 cameos where the games were the teams didn't need the games and he would just go in there, as a backup, that kind of scenario. I hate the Vikings injury situation right now. Darrisaw might play the offensive tackle. He's important, but Jones is banged up. Bunch of guys on the defense, offensive line. I mean, you name a position, and they're hurt there. And I just think that Browning has played pretty well here in relief of Burrow, and Burrow is always hurt. He just has a hard time staying on the field. He's a really good player, but he is always hurt. And the team does not drop off that much when he gets hurt. I mean, last week they scored it, in the 30s? 2023, he missed 7 games towards the end of the year. Browning went 4-3, moved the ball, put up points, put up some wins. So that's 5-3 for Browning in his last 8. I think this will be a close game. These teams actually met in 2023, the end of the year, right around Christmas. And it was Browning against the Vikings. Browning is a former Viking, by the way. He had a little axe to grind with them. He's, oh, you guys should have kept me. But regardless, Bengals won that game 27-24. Browning moved the ball. Again, that's a different Viking team. I understand that. But this Viking team is all beat up, and I do think we're getting to the point where, oh, they have O'Connell, they'll be fine. O'Connell gets a lot of credit for a guy that's never won a playoff game. They got embarrassed last year against the Lions primetime. They got embarrassed in the playoffs against the Rams. 3 years ago in the playoffs, they were home against Daniel Jones, couldn't stop him. He's a pretty good coach. I say this about Vrabel. He's a pretty good coach. I think most people would want to have O'Connell as their coach. This idea that he's this great coach, though, man, he gets a lot of credit for somebody who's done very little in terms of like the big picture. I mean, this was his fourth year coaching the team. He's never won a playoff game. I just think it gets a little carried away with O'Connell. So I'm happy to take the 3 with Cincy. I would imagine that closes closer to 2, 2.5. I'm surprised the 3s have hung there as long as they have, considering the injury concerns here for Minnesota. So Bengals +3, Titans +4.5, Browns +8.5. Are the 3 I liked the best. And I will go under. I'll throw in an under here. I'm torn between taking the Jets plus 7 and under over under 43.5. I like the under just because Tampa is so beat up on the offensive line. They might be down three starters. Jets, you figure with Taylor, be a little conservative. Tyrod Taylor playing for Fields, more of a game manager, that kind of approach to it. So I think under 43.5 is the way to go. I just think this is more of a, I don't know, 23, 20, 21, 17. Torn between taking the 7 and the under 43.5, but I will go under 43.5 as a fourth play. Raiders, Commanders, I have no feel for. Steelers, Patriots, a lot of these games. You know, we do this question on the Megapod with Gil and Todd. Which game do you want no part of? Boy, there's plenty of games that that qualify. Chiefs, Cardinals, I thought about taking the 3 with Arizona. I didn't understand why San Francisco opened a 1.5, 2-point dog. So I understand taking the 2 with 49ers, but now you're going to lay 3 with San Francisco. Is that a thought that Purdy might play? I thought Jones was actually pretty decent last week. And the 49ers got some good players in the front 7. I thought they played pretty well defensively. But passing there, Chargers, Broncos is a good game, and I don't want to lay 2.5. With Denver, I'll give you one before we get to Adam. I would like a little more than the 8-1. I think there's a 9-1 I saw with Herbert. I only have 3 books here in Connecticut. Herbert 9-1 for MVP. Again, it's early in the year. You're only getting single digits. The days are gone where you can get Mahomes his first year as a starter, Lamar his first year as a starter, and 18-19 at 75-80-1. Those prices are just not up there anymore with this market. It's just become too popular. The hold is really big. It's not a great market to bet. But I am tempted to take Herbert 8-1 MVP. If you look at everyone around him, the usual suspects, which is why it's hard to bet this award, because there's 5-6 guys you got to compete against, and if you're getting a short payout, you got to beat Mahomes and Lamar and Allen and Burrow. Well, Burrow's out of the mix. He's not going to win this. He's done, at least until December. Allen's already won it. He won it last year, and this is oftentimes a narrative award, as we saw last year when it was close between Allen and Lamar probably had better stats in a lot of the categories. Lamar's won it twice, and not only has Lamar done it twice, Lamar hasn't done anything in the playoffs, which I think hurts your ability to win this a third time and multiple times. So Lamar has won. Allen has won. Mahomes has won. And throw in the fact that now with the Chiefs 0-2 and a tough schedule coming up, a big part of this is you have to win the division. And I think the Chargers, especially if they can win this week, they could be 3-0. Who knows? Maybe the Chiefs get upset this week and go 0-3. I don't think it'll happen, but it's a very real possibility. And the Chargers have beaten the Chiefs head-to-head. It's a very real possibility that the Chargers win this division. If that's the case, you got guys around him that have won it already. I don't know that there's anybody in the NFC. I guess Stafford would Hurts win it. He's not putting up the stats, at least early. I guess Love will be in the mix. I just think this is one where you might look back in a month, 6 weeks, and say, man, I wish I would grab Herbert at 8-1. It's probably not going to go much lower. You're probably, even if he plays really well and they keep winning, it'll get down to like 4-1, 5-1. But if I had to bet anything right now, I did think about betting Herbert 8-1. I expected to look at those odds and say, all right, Herbert, MVP, because I was watching him Monday night, was thinking about all the things I just mentioned with the other quarterbacks who had already won, and Burrow started, all right, let me look at what Herbert is for MVP. Maybe I'll get 12-1, 15-1 again. I don't pay too much attention to these markets because I don't think there's a ton of value in it anymore. I had Purdy 22-1 a couple years ago, and that got damn close to getting home until he threw up on himself on Christmas. But Herbert, 8-1, I'm seeing at DraftKings. That, to me, is not a bad bet. I think he is going to be in the mix. I'll put it this way. If you just said, hey, forget the odds, who's going to win the MVP right now, I would actually pick him for all the reasons I mentioned. The other guy's winning already, and I don't see anybody in the NFC that's a great, I guess, again, Love, if his team's going to be as good as they've looked so far, Love is certainly going to be in the mix. But Herbert for MVP is one, especially if you have a free bet where you want to get plus odds, or you have a bonus bet or a boost, things like that. Herbert at 8-1, I don't think is a bad play. But we'll see what Adam Kaufman thinks. We'll get his thoughts on the NFL, maybe some baseball. That is next. This Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. You can catch him at Betting News, Sports Grid. It is our buddy. He's from Massachusetts, but we don't hold that against him too much. It is Adam Kaufman. Adam, what's up, man? Good to see you.
Is there some Connecticut bias here, or is it just being a little too close to the Bronx or something?
Yeah, and we will reconvene in a couple weeks, because it is looking, we're going to do mostly football here, but it is looking like we're going to have a Yankees-Red Sox wild card series here to the death. Now, the Red Sox got to win some games too, but that's at least how it's shaping up, which would be just a wild couple of days if that is the case.
Yeah, it's always good to rejuvenate the rivalry, right? You know, it feels like in recent years, and more so New York than Boston, but it's like one team's good, the other one not as much. You know, it's fun when they're on kind of equal footing. And so, yeah, looking forward to it. I mean, I wish the Red Sox didn't squander the opportunity at Fenway against the Yankees recently, because then maybe the series would have been played in Boston. It's not looking like that's going to happen anymore. So New York's probably going to host that thing,
which I think matters. I think if it were in Boston, I probably would lean towards the Red Sox, just the Yankees. They hit well there, but I don't know, that's a tough place to play, tough place to win. And if it's in Yankee Stadium, I know you probably have to deal with Crochet game one, but I'd still probably lean towards the Yankees. But it'd be fun either way. We'll get to football here to start before we get to some of your picks. I guess the theme here, and we're recording this before Bills Dolphins, can the underdogs win a damn game? It's been all chalk, really, dating back to kind of the tail end the last couple months of last year. Do you think this is something, nothing, small sample size? Is there something bigger at play here? What's your take on it?
Yeah, some of the stats, and I'm sure you know this, but I was looking them up earlier. Favorites overall right now are 23-9 straight up, which is obviously pretty lopsided. Now, against the spread, it's a lot closer, 17-15. But I think what people are really kind of flocking to in this regard, and Bills would be another example, obviously, if they can go out and do what everyone expects them to do, closing favorites of at least 4.5 points, 12-0 straight up, 7-5 against the spread. So yeah, the heavier favorites are mostly laying the hammer against these inferior teams. And I don't know. I feel like part of it is small sample size, early season. Look at the schedule, look at these matchups. You know, you've had a lot of good teams playing a lot of bad teams. That's just been the way it has kind of played itself out so far. But I also wonder, and we'll have to see, you know, kind of reconvene midseason to look at it, right? But I wonder if maybe this year there just isn't as much parity as there's been in recent seasons. You know, injuries are always going to help dictate that sort of thing, and we're already seeing some of that. And yes, there are going to be teams that maybe you were a little lukewarm on, that it's, you know, all of a sudden they're like, wait a minute, maybe we should be taking them more seriously, like the Indianapolis Colts, for instance. You know, not a lot of people, like, I think some people at least had them under consideration to win the division, but nobody was, you know, beating their chests about it. And then here they are, 2-0. Daniel Jones, you know, looking like he might be comeback player of the year or something if he keeps doing what he's doing, leading an offense that just refuses to punt. It's been pretty incredible. But, you know, I want to see what happens when, for instance, you know, when it was Ravens and Bills, obviously that was a stellar game. When it was Packers and Lions, it wasn't. You know, when we get those teams that we perceive to be on kind of the same level matching up, what's that going to look like? And I think we're starting now to enter a point in the schedule in week three where we're going to see some more of those.
All right, let's get into it, because you mentioned the Colts, 2-0, and they are favored now by 4.5 points to go to 3-0. Would put the Titans at 0-3, and look, 0-3. I mean, I know it's a pretty soft division, but 0-3, you're pretty much finished. So it's amazing how quickly, you know, these teams get all excited for their season. These fans get all excited. You're 0-3, you're pretty much done before you even start. Is this too much of an overreaction? Are you looking to lay it, take it? What's your take on this game?
No, I'm going to lay 3.5. I like this play a lot. You know, it's kind of a, to some degree, I'm going to buy in until they show me otherwise. And again, Indianapolis, this is not hyperbole. Literally, the Colts have not punted yet this year. That's unbelievable to think about. You know, it's the Broncos were not, and or who was it? It was the, who have they faced so far? Now I'm trying to remember.
Broncos and Dolphins. They killed Miami, and then they won the game last week.
Yeah, so the Broncos, you know, that was perceived tougher game. Obviously the Dolphins looking like a train wreck, and who knows, maybe by the time this publishes, Mike McDaniel will already be, you know, in the unemployment line. But this is a Colts team that Jones looks real. Pittman, obviously, you know, Tyler Warren has been a focal point within this offense. Jonathan Taylor, in all likelihood, going to dominate that Titans run defense, which, you know, we've already seen Kyron Williams go off against them. We saw the tandem of, we saw RJ Harvey have a really good game against them. So I think the Colts are in a really good spot. And part of that, too, is not just the Indy offensive side, but obviously The Titans, you know, Cam Ward has been sacked 11 times now in his first two games as a pro. He's on pace for a record of 93. Now, he's probably not going to get there, but even still. And that was a Broncos defense, a Rams defense, two tougher defenses. The Colts, you know, are going to be a little less of a challenge, but he has no offensive line to speak of in front of him. And so, again, you know, I think between that, Tony Pollard doesn't have an easy matchup, stout defense on the other side. I think it's tough to really talk yourself into the Titans in this situation. I can't do it. I'll lay it with the Colts even outside the field goal.
How about the Chiefs laying now 5.5, 6, depending on where you shop here, against the Giants? What do you like in this game? And just big picture thoughts on the Chiefs, I think, is the story of the season now. 0-2 with the Ravens next week. So, again, if you just somehow trip up and Russell Wilson has another big game and you're looking at 0-3 playing the Ravens, this could – I know it's Mahomes. I know it's Andy Reid. But this could get very dicey very quickly for Kansas City. Do you have a play in this game?
Yeah, it's a 17-game season, so never say never, obviously. But, you know, already – 2 weeks into the season, you have the stats come out about, you know, teams that I read it earlier, I think maybe on Covers, in the 5 seasons since the NFL has expanded to a 14-team playoff format, teams that begin 0-2 have only reached the playoffs 12% of the time, 5 out of 41. So you look at that group: Jets, no; Dolphins, no; Browns, no; Titans, no; Giants, no; Bears, probably not; Saints, no; Panthers, no. The only two teams that are sitting 0-2 right now that you would say maybe they can put it together would be the Texans and would be the Chiefs. And Kansas City, if heaven forbid, Patrick Mahomes, and I think he's only, this is the first time now with the 0-2 and then the Super Bowl loss that he started, that he's had 3 straight losses in his career as a starter. Never happened before. This is nut up time, right? This is a little narrative street, but you have to. This is a virtual must win for Kansas City. You mentioned it. Baltimore is coming up. You can't afford 0-3. You for damn sure can't afford 0-4. You have to win this game. You have to win this game decisively. Not an ideal situation with the, you know, Giants kind of feeling themselves off of what they did, obviously, and Russell Wilson turned back the clock the last game, and, you know, you're in the Meadowlands, you're not at Arrowhead, that comes into it as well. But, you know, I think the fact that you're getting 5.5, 6.5, depending on where you look, but obviously more desirably the 5.5, that you're getting that on the road speaks volumes of what the books expect Kansas City to do to New York on the other side. This is, it's a terrible defense for the Giants. We've seen that in a couple of weeks already. The Patrick Mahomes offense has certainly not been up to the level that I think a lot of people hold it to in you know, a couple of years at this point in time. But Xavier Worthy should be back for this game. That's a gigantic addition. Down the road, obviously, Rashee Rice comes back. Now, I just think this is get right time for Kansas City, and they have to find a way.
Big game. Chargers are 2-0 and the Broncos 1-1, a play away from being 2-0. And we know what happened last week with that inning against the Colts, which we talked about. Chargers, if the Chargers win this, they're 3-0. I actually think I would like a little more, but I thought about betting Herbert at 8-1 for MVP. And I might actually add that.
Just I saw because, a lot of people do.
Just because it's still early in the season to be adding somebody who's single-digit odds. But if you just look, and speaking of narratives, Mahomes has already won. They're 0-2. And the Chiefs might not win the division. Part of winning MVP, you pretty much have to win the division. So that part of it you like. Allen's won it before. He won it last year. Lamar's won it twice. Burrow's not in the mix. Maybe it's just Herbert's turn where if they can win 12 or 13 games and win a division, he's on the short list. But do you agree with that? And what are you looking for in this game?
Yeah, Herbert MVP at, you know, again, 8-1 plus 850, wherever you see it, that definitely interests me. I mean, I'm not a huge futures guy to begin with, at least in terms of players. I'll get involved in terms of make-miss playoffs, win totals, team to, you know, make the playoffs, that type of thing. I don't generally play around too much in the player awards sand, but I think you're getting value on it because, again, I just think that Herbert's only going to continue to look better. You know, he was excellent last year, crapped the bed in the playoffs, as we know, with the 4-interception game, and has clearly put that around him and now, or behind him, and now this season, through just a couple, has looked good. I mean, that was a You know, first in Brazil, you beat the Chiefs, and that is not a game a lot of people thought, obviously, the Chargers were going to win. And then, you know, really, you embarrass the Raiders in their home opener on Pete Carroll's birthday. You know, Geno Smith was terrible, had the three interceptions. The defense was great, even after losing Khalil Mack, who I know is going to miss some time here. But that offense is just humming between Herbert being reliable, efficient. Ladd McConkey is a safety blanket like you don't typically see from a, you know, NFL sophomore. And quite frankly, he was that way as a rookie last year. Quentin Johnston's finally showing people something. He's been awesome so far with some huge gains. Keenan Allen just fitting in like he never left after his little gap year with the Bears looks tremendous. I mean, they just have so many weapons within that offense. You haven't really seen it out of the run game. You know, Najee Harris, Amarian Hampton, they've been kind of split in duty. I think that Hampton eventually is going to emerge, but a slow start for the rookie. Jim Harbaugh, if you want to, I like trends. I know a lot of people don't care about these things, but I like them. Jim Harbaugh is 6-1 against the spread after playing on a Monday night in his coaching career. Now, Sean Payton, to be fair, 26-16 ATS after losing as a favorite. So both coaches, you know, have some of this stuff on their sides, obviously, but I'm not sold on the Broncos. I'm not sold that there's not going to be some regression out of Bo Nix. I think we've seen it already in the first couple games this year. And, you know, I don't really, even though it's inside a field goal at a lot of places with the 2.5, I don't really want to screw around with that. I'd rather just lay the juice and, you know, Chargers money line or even put them in a money line parlay with other teams that I like.
Anything through 2 weeks that you feel differently about? Any teams you feel differently about, players about? Wow, I was wrong about this, or maybe I was right about this. Any general takeaways here from a couple weeks in?
I mean, this would be this is so bad. This would be like a year plus long narrative for me finally coming to a head. I think JJ McCarthy sucks. I thought he was a game manager at Michigan. I never thought he was going to be a good pro. I fully realize that we are not at a point where you can, you know, pound your hand against a desk and say, see, I told you. But I'll tell you what, he's played two games. Now he's hurt again, obviously, the high ankle sprain. He's going to miss time. He's played two games and he's played seven bad quarters. Now, the one good quarter was heroic and he was awesome in his NFL debut. And I think a lot of people, you know, he showed them something. I'm not sold, especially with him coming out and doing what he did immediately after. And then, as opposed to sucking for three quarters, sucked for four quarters and got hurt. I just think we are going to see considerable regression out of the Vikings this year. You know, and that's, you can point to, hey, Sam Darnold was really good, or you can point to JJ McCarthy's not as good. But this defense, it's a very good defense, is only going to take them so far. I don't think the Vikings are a playoff team. So to come down from 13 wins, whatever it was last year, to, you know, maybe 7 or 8 this year, I think that's pretty considerable. So that's one that immediately comes to mind.
Yeah, I like Cincy getting the 3 this week. Minnesota is all beat up too around McCarthy. Yep. And the one thing if you're gonna make the case for McCarthy, I don't really think he's that good, but his team around him, coach around him, they'll get him to a level that he just needs to be like a B-, and with everything around him, they can have success. But Aaron Jones hurt. Darisaw might be back, but, you know, lineman hurt, defensive player. I mean, the list of injuries is like 10, 12 deep of guys that play and guys that contribute. So I'm with you. I think
Comes down to, like, who do you like, right? Jake Browning or Carson Wentz? You know, there are people out there that think that Wentz is actually an upgrade to McCarthy. You know, I know he's been a journeyman in recent years, but at least he's been around. He was a, you know, former MVP candidate back in the day. Now, that was almost a decade ago. But I think people do forget, like, Browning, one, he was good enough to lead Cincinnati to that win. I know he had a few turnovers in that last game after he came in for Burrow, but he was 4-3, completing 70% of his passes as the team starter back in 2023. And, you know, for me, again, it's like, don't screw up. As long as you don't screw up, you manage the game. You don't need to be elite. You have the Chases, Jamar and Brown. You have T. Higgins. Like, I'm not worried, even with Browning, about Cincinnati's offense. I like them on the money line this week. I think they beat Minnesota. The defense is obviously going to be that concern.
Last one, from a baseball standpoint, we hit on in the beginning, but the Red Sox fan mindset is what? Just happy that they're going to make the playoffs, got all these young players, everything else is gravy, got fantasies, visions of grandeur with a deep run into the playoffs. Take me into the mind to most Red Sox fans right now.
Yeah, if this were a word game, right? The Red Sox fan is blank. Hyperventilating would probably be the word that I would use right now. Panicked that we're going to see another September collapse. You know, this team is, you know, I was high on the team going into the year. I know they were, we probably talked about it at the time. They were certainly a big betting darling as far as,
sure,
you know, could they win the division? People going over on their wins, put them in the playoffs after, you know, so many last place finishes in recent years. No, I don't think a lot of people saw it happening, unfolding the way that it has, obviously trading away Rafael Devers and getting, you know, so much of a spark from a lot of the youth. Obviously, Garrett Crochet is doing exactly as advertised. I mean, he's a, you know, maybe even the Cy Young winner by the end of the season. We'll see. But, you know, I think this team, like, it's not a lock that they're in the playoffs yet. They're in a position, and that's great. But there are a couple of teams that are right behind them, you know, 2.5, 3 games back with still 10, 11 games to play in the regular season. Like this is not settled yet. You know, and as recent as a week ago, I would have said they were still live to win the division because you got a series with Toronto coming up. You had the Yankees, but then you drop 2 out of 3 with New York and we'll see what happens with the Blue Jays. But they keep winning. The Yankees keep winning. Right now, Boston's just trying to really kind of hold on, get in the dance. Now, I unfortunately, and I know they had the exciting walk-off and the come-from-behind win last night and all of that stuff, but this is a team that needs to figure out how to hit again with runners in scoring position. For whatever reason, in the basically 2 weeks since Roman Anthony went down, and what a call-up he was from the minors, you know, they've forgotten how to hit, and one guy should not make that big an impact on your lineup, especially a rookie. But he has. So the expectation is, depending on how far they go, he could be back in the playoffs. And I think that changes things considerably. But the offense is inconsistent. The bullpen is inconsistent. I like the starters. I like Crochet. I like Bayo. I like Giolito last night, notwithstanding. I think they can, you know, they're dangerous on the mound in any, you know, any series. You don't need to go to Toley or Early. You know, you don't need 4 or 5 when you get to the playoffs. But this is a team that, you know, needs to develop some consistency, because for 2-3 weeks at this point, it hasn't been there.
Adam, you're the best. It was good to catch up. Best time of the year, man. Playoff baseball around the corner. Football, it's really so good. Excited to see what happens this weekend and beyond. Let everyone know where we can find you.
Adam M. Kaufman on Twitter. And as you said off the top, doing stuff with Sports Grid, Betting News Network, having a lot of fun. And yeah, man, hopefully more of these to come. Maybe we'll preview Sox Yankees.
Adam, appreciate it, man. We'll do it again soon.
All right.
All right. Thank you to Adam Kaufman. Rate, review, subscribe. Keep those reviews coming and appreciate it. They really help us out. We'll be back Monday to discuss it all. See you then.